Blog Talk Radio.
God soldiers,
it's time to take our place as the chosen. We must bring the heat from the streets and unthaw the minds of the masses that's frozen. There's no need to carry a Mac 10 when you understand the power of the pen. This is our greatest hour. We can't be afraid to speak truth to power. It all comes down to this moment. Do you want it or do you hold it? Do you want
time is like the mind.
You can't afford to waste it.
Success is on our fingertips.
Can you taste it?
Can you
we
taste
must
it?
Face it.
We
either
must
we arrive to shine,
or we complain
and
die.
A nation of our own,
a nation of our own.
God didn't promise space, man, he promised land.
God didn't promise space, man, he promised land.
God didn't promise
and
space,
that
man,
my word,
the high priestess of information.
Economy.
And that's my word. God didn't promise space, man, he promised land.
God didn't promise space, man, he promised land.
The high priestess of information.
Itani.
And that's my word.
Thank you for tuning in and joining another episode of Conscious Conversations. I am your host, Vegeta J, and I am joined here today also with Sister Gabira Latrice. Welcome to the show, Sister. How are you?
Fine, and you? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Today is April the 28th, 2017, and here in the city of New Orleans, today kicks off the beginning of Jazz Fest. So there are plenty of people in the city traveling, making money, having a good time. Please, everyone, have fun and be safe. You know, there's plenty of money to get out there this the next 2 weeks. So, you know, be industrious and go get some of that money. Also, today I would want to get into fun time today. The subject today is part two of the state of black women. But I also want it to be a freestyle Friday. So if anybody wants to call in and just make a statement, get on your soapbox, ask a question, make a comment, you know, the number here to get on the air is 646-668-2795. Again, please call in and join the cipher at 646-668-2795. Now, sister, yesterday was such a wonderful, wonderful cipher, a wonderful conversation. I mean, everybody was really into it and chopping it up. And, you know, at one point I thought you and Brother Roosevelt were going to go at it. I know it's all love, but it was really, really a passionate and deep, interesting conversation. So I hope that we have more of these types of conversations, but also that these conversations lead to, you know, us doing practical things in the community. The brother has said he would get 10 sewing machines, so you know what? I got to find a way to make that happen so I can set up those sewing classes and the other things that need to be done. But, sister, in reflecting on yesterday's show, we covered so many topics. We covered the black woman being single and by herself. We covered male-female relationships and the lack of trust and the abandonment of the men. We covered health issues and obesity. We had one sister call in, and she talked about black women wanting to be white. So and we haven't even gotten into misogyny, how, you know, we are disrespected in the music and throughout, you know, film and art, you know, really forever. So let's get into that. What are your thoughts on yesterday's conversation and expounding on this subject today?
I think what stood out more to me, first of all, let me say hello to the callers and hello to the fan base, because we do appreciate you all calling me in. And I want to thank you, sister, for allowing me to be on this platform to be able to say some of the conscious things that I know that has really been dear to my heart to do something about. Pertaining to yesterday, I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was the last call, which was the one lady who says that she's a teacher. And that
yes,
she says she spent a lot of time trying to mentally teach those children that their black is beautiful. Well, their brown is beautiful, because I really can't say that word. But that their brown is beautiful, and that they need to love the skin that they're in. And so that was one of the things that I really took to bed with me on last evening, because I felt like what she said spoke volumes about how society is today, and how the young women and men have been fooled into believing that what they see is real people, and that's not what they, that's not actually what they're seeing, but in their mind, this is what they're seeing. The reason why I say that is because, again, those people that we see, social media, celebrities and things of that nature, when they go behind closed doors, there's so much that they have done to their bodies to make them
right.
who they are, that
right.
in their elder age, they would never be able to return to Allah in the form that they were initially made in. And so that worries me altogether. So, you know, Allah gave you a C cup, but you're returning to Allah in double D's or triple F's, and your nose wasn't great enough, so you got rid of what I like to call the peanut butter nose, our thick little fat nose. You got rid of our little fat nose so that you have a pointy nose. You got rid of your beautiful eye color, and you went and you paid to have your eye color changed, and you know, you didn't have a, you wasn't well endowed in the trunk, so now when they get ready to prepare your body, you got all this stuff behind you that's not even real, you know? So I'm worried about the state of mind of our people, and especially the women.
When did we as a society, particularly black women, start getting into the plastic surgery and all the fake, phony body parts? And, I mean, there was a time when our community didn't play that. You know, we wasn't with all that plastic surgery and fakeness, you know. And then it just seems like now that's the norm. You can't tell male from females. You can't tell if the women are real. You can't tell if their body parts are real. You know, most of everything on them is fake, from the nails to the eyelashes to the hair. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I understand what you're saying. It's scary. It's really scary.
I'm at the point.
Right. I think we are. We have morphed into the one thing that we had as a moral fabric in our community as brown women was we took pride in what we looked like. We had pride about having such beautiful head full of hair. Whether it was thick, whether it was curly, whether it was straight, whether it was, you know, oh, I got Indian in my family. You know, you always hear, you know, brown women say, I got Indian in my family. We took pride in what we looked like. And it just seems like, to me, the trend and the behavior that I see has a whole lot to do with being rejected, to me. I think that our women feel rejected. I mean, you can't compete with Kim Kardashian's body and keep your husband or your man excited to want to be with you when everybody around you looks like Kim Kardashian. And here you are with, you know, you don't have the thick waist, you don't have the thick butt, you know, your breasts are not where they used to be. So that gives, that plays with the self-esteem of a lot of our women, and now it's bad because it plays with the girls. We have little girls who are committing suicide because the parents can't afford to get them breast implants, or the parents can't afford to pay for the money for them to be able to have the Brazilian butt lift, or they want flat stomachs, so they're using those waist trainers. And what they're not understanding is their body is still growing. They still haven't grown into
their bodies are growing, but their minds are not. Their minds are not growing.
Yes. Yes. And that's a dangerous.
Welcome
place
to the caller. Welcome to the show, caller. I'm sorry, sister. I just wanted to welcome the caller and acknowledge them. Welcome to the caller to the show 510. Could you announce yourself and I guess you're from New Orleans. Okay, maybe they don't want to say anything. But like you were saying, sister, about the waist trainers, you know, it's something because, you know, as I look at my grandson, I wonder what type of world he will inherit in the next 15 to 20 years in terms of where our mentality. Yeah, it really is. And your grandbaby, too, you know, Zenobia. Where would their society look like in 15, 20 years when they're in high school and they're about to get out of high school, will we still be in this condition where, you know, we have fake body parts and, you know, fake hair and, you know, we are mesmerized by our electronics and, you know, people are getting further and further away from that human bond, you know? It just seems like the world is moving more towards a cold reality. And I think that black women play a key part in changing that. So,
well, sister, you are 100% correct. I do agree with you that black women, brown women have a very hard job to fulfill at this point in time. As a mother of a son and two daughters, my son is married, so I'm not really worried about my son. But I am very worried about my two daughters and my granddaughter because it's to the point now where I have to investigate whether or not this kid is really a boy. Were you born a boy? Did you have genitalia like a boy? Do you have a penis? You see what I'm saying? Because families are keeping big secrets now. It's not where it used to be where, you know, it's a hush-hush, but everybody kind of knows. It's these people are putting up loans. They're taking out loans. They're taking out loans on their homes and their houses to make their children happy with being in society. So that leaves us in a very scary place, especially for me, because I think that if you cannot disclose with the person that you're liking or you have you want to attempt to have a relationship with, that, you know, before I was William, my real name is Wilma, you know, and I was a girl. Give me the option of wanting to be in a relationship with you. Just don't throw me in the fire and just say, hey, you know, you fell in love and my big secret is, and then it becomes a reality show, because that alone is dangerous within itself. That is what happened with the Jerry Springer show, when that one guy went on there and the family had kept it a secret that the girl was actually a guy. And after the show, he went back to their house. He told her on national TV, you made me gay when I didn't want to be gay. So what was the repercussions of that? This guy is now in jail because he went back with he blow that transsexual's head off. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, but I think that because they're not honest. They're not honest, you know, and that's rampant, not just in the black community, just in the gay community. That's rampant where a lot of these men are out here, they're prostituting, you know, they're picking up, I see that at the casino all the time, they're picking up people, and they don't disclose who and what they really are. So I'm not saying anybody deserves to be killed, but you put yourself in a position where you lie, you know, and you deceive someone. And, you know, that's emotional trauma. That's just a good snap. And, you know, it's something because, like I said, 25 years ago, that wasn't even a reality, like on a major level for our community. A lot of things that weren't a reality in our community are presently. We weren't as sick. We weren't as mentally ill. We weren't committing suicide as much as we are. We weren't wanting to be white. I mean, I remember walking through the hood, and it was like, sisters were just beautiful and natural,
right.
You know. They had their rollers in their hair.
Yes.
Sisters don't even wear rollers anymore.
Well, you know what? It's very hard to wrap rollers inside of a sew-in. It's hard to wrap rollers in a hair weave. It's hard to get some rollers into some hair that that don't belong to you. You see what I'm saying?
Welcome,
I mean, I have fallen victim, and I have to be honest, because you cannot contradict or you can't be hypocritical towards the other sisters if you don't check yourself. Now, me, myself, I have fallen victim, and my esteem has fell below a level at a certain point where I just didn't feel pretty. Or I'm feeling my 40s, you see what I'm saying? And I decided, okay, I'm going to go and get my hair fixed. I'm going to try something different. And I have gotten the weave put in my hair. I have gotten the sew-ins and things of that nature. And I have fallen victim to, again, like I said, I have to chalk it up to what it is, esteem. When you don't feel pretty, or when you feeling like everybody else is, that's what pretty is, then eventually you fall victim to that, whether it be brave.
Did it make you feel, did that stuff make you feel pretty though, sister? Did it make you feel good?
In actuality, sister, to be totally honest with you, at one point, yes.
Well, I hear interference. Somebody's phone is interfering. Sister, your voice is muffled. Someone just called in, 228-226. Welcome to the show. Okay, call was dropped. Okay, call was dropped. Sister, did that make you, when you did put all that stuff on, did it make you feel beautiful?
At one point it did, and... Sometimes when I do have it on, or if I get my hair fixed, it does make me feel a little different about myself. And again, it goes back to being told that you're beautiful. I still feel like sometimes if I'm told that I'm beautiful naturally, that how pretty I am naturally, then I wouldn't have to go through so many loopholes to keep the attention of the significant other. But I feel like if that's what keeps their attention, and I'm just personally speaking for myself because I can't speak to anybody else, I'm personally speaking for myself, I feel like if that's what's going to keep my husband's attention and he looks at the television or things of that nature, then let me just try it. Let me see what it is about it that's making him look at it or anything like that, because, again, if you don't hear it, you don't feel it.
Well, I can say this for myself because I'm an all-natural woman and I don't wear makeup, and I've recently cut my locks off, and, you know, a couple of sisters have suggested that I, you know, do some things like put some tracks in. I could never do that. I just would feel phony. I mean, I have worn braids at one time, little cornrow braids, but I just feel real fake and phony with that stuff on. I do want to become more feminine in terms of wearing makeup, maybe not a lot, but just because I'm putting myself out in the public and I'm striving to come out of obscurity, wanting to put myself in a public place and speaking that is necessary in terms of selling products and how I present myself as a professional woman and a motivational speaker to, you know, definitely beautify myself, but still beautifying myself in a natural way that still is me. You know, I'm not going to change who I am for anyone. And that's just for this. What I am going through is my own personal progression to who it is that God is developing me to be. And regardless of any man or woman or friend or anything else, I have to be happy and satisfied with myself. When I look at the mirror, I have to know, damn, Jada, you the shit. You understand and believe that. Whether
right.
it's through my intelligence
right.
or how I carry myself or conduct myself or my achievements or whatever, you know, but looking for validation. And I'm not saying naturally you have a husband and these women have men who they want to, you know, keep up. And like we were saying yesterday, most men, they want that. They want the whores. You know, they want the woman that's on the stripper pole. They really don't want a righteous woman. You know, they want that freak all the time. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it is very difficult. Sometimes it takes, when you find a man who appreciates natural women, you know, you're like, whoa, you know? Because there are very few men who appreciate natural women. Brother Nabi, do you want to get in this conversation? Because I read a post that you wrote last night on Facebook about the misogyny of women and how women are disrespected in the music and everything. Did you want to chime in on this subject? And you being a man who loves a natural woman, you know, could you chime in on this subject?
I'm just listening. I mean, I'm not one really big on trying to judge women's perspectives. You know what I'm saying? So. Because like I said, we're so, I say it all the time, we're so judgmental on women. I'm not no woman, so I can't never get on there and tell a woman what she should or shouldn't do.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I feel like I said before.
But why do men want the woman that's, you know, more loose or, you know, not natural, that, what is the attraction to that? Why aren't the brothers interested in natural women?
I can't speak for everybody because I've never been on that kind of level with no female. But I like natural women. I've always liked natural women. But for everybody else, I don't know what it is. I really don't. That's just like, I couldn't tell you how some of these guys like white women. It's some stuff I can never lie to you about. Yeah, it's the same thing when a man likes another man. I don't understand what it is that turns them on about it, because it doesn't do anything for me. But
my question to you is, can you say that? Okay, like I was saying before, you know, you've seen me natural. You've seen me natural, and you've seen me in my personal state, and I find Kira to be the most beautiful female that I have ever laid eyes on. Kira is beautiful. And she knows it, because I let her know that every time I see her, and Sister Jada as well. But do you think that in our society, because of it being pushed around, the selling of the hair weave, the selling of what's standard for beautiful when it comes to our women, do you think that the men can stop this behavior? By what could they do to make the woman feel better about herself, to where she don't have to dip over into the hair weave pool, or she don't have to feel like she got to have this gigantuan booty to keep her husband or her spouse or her significant other interested? What is it that you would say?
Me personally, I'm going to tell you like this. You be you, and you be whatever you're happy with, and it's going to either repel, because everybody, just because he has a penis don't mean make him a man. Just because she got ass don't make her no woman. You be what you are, and what makes you happy. And at the end of the day, that's going to, light attracts everything. Bugs, moths, everything. So you shine your light. Kira, the reason I had stress with her about being natural is because the propaganda, when we talk about war, and I'm always talking about war, but when we talk about war, literally, there's a war on black women's natural beauty. And literally, Kira got fibroid tumors. She got fibroid tumors from perms and stuff. So I cut a lot of stuff out. Overall, if he doesn't appreciate you, that's not that dude that you need in your life anyway. Don't bless him with what you got to offer. If he can't come to you and be like, hey, what's up, man? Man, I love your hair. If he can't say he loves what you look like, then you shouldn't be sticking with him anyway. I don't think a lot of these dudes deserve the day, and y'all said it yesterday, the day that the women step up to a higher standard and say, you know what, I got, what's the word for it? What's the word for it when you be like, no, not just a self-esteem. Okay. When you, at the end of the day, black women have to understand that they have the most power in the world. Everybody bows down to black women, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. If you're even looking at Islam is based on the original mother, Allah. And that's where you get the name Allah from. I mean, only you, nobody can fix you. Only you can love yourself. You see what I'm saying? It's all about, and it sounds cliche,
right,
but
right,
I don't think you have to love yourself. You have to know who yourself is. Nothing, if anybody else comes to you trying to tell you what they like, then go find it. You go find it over there. But with Sister Latrice, if I come in and say, oh, man, mm-hmm. I love Sister Latrice for who Sister Latrice is. I hate the fact that Sister Jada said she cut her hair, because I love Sister Jada hair. But that's Sister Jada's hair. You see what I'm saying? But it's like, y'all can be on a pedestal, but to be on a pedestal, you got to start. You can change men. Because you remember that movie, Shot Right?
Who was it?
Yes.
Pretty much all I'm saying is the women set the standard. When the women say, you know what, I need a man at this standard, there's nothing wrong with that. I need a man to be able to do this, this, and that. Because guess what? I know so-called Muslims in the Muslim community, the Arabs, whatever, they don't care about you being a single Muslim or not. They don't say you have to be a doctor, a lawyer, you have to be something to bring to the table. If all women start telling these dudes out here that's running around here with their pants down, running around here shooting each other, running around here doing this nonsense, look, you want a woman like me, you can't get this because you ain't qualified for it. You need to meet your children.
So it's nothing about this.
You need to do it yourself. You just need to love yourself. These little boys, make these little boys grow up.
Welcome to the show, caller 312. Could you announce yourself and where you're from?
I'm from Chicago.
How you doing, sister? Welcome to the show.
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you.
We're really just like a freestyle Friday, but the main topic today is part two of Black Women, of the state of Black women. Yesterday we got so deep into the different issues that are plaguing us as women, and today I wanted to delve more into the misogyny of the Black woman. How we, and I got this off a statement that Nadine made on the Facebook page yesterday, how we are just totally disrespected in our music, in the art form. You don't hear Asian people in their music calling their women bitches and hoes and dogging them out and, you know, making sexual references, nor do you see the Caucasian doing that, the Jews or the Arabs. Only in our community is that allowed and accepted. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, I'm an in the closet trap music chick, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard because when I'm in public, you know, the beat is so good that I wouldn't bounce my head like in public at a club, but when I'm alone in my car and something comes on me, yeah, I'm bouncing it. And to be honest with you, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that you only have to set up a clean glass and a dirty glass next to one another, a clear, clean glass of water and something that's a glass that's real filthy and dirty, and what you will, and let the people choose. Well, I know in my music, if I got clean lyrics or explicit lyrics, I don't know why, but I'm choosing explicit lyrics, which shows the state of where I am in terms of my music taste and music appetite, that I have become accustomed to listening to music that has profanity. And if the profanity is not in it, I don't really want to hear it. And that's something wrong with that, that mentality that we have gotten to the point where if I'm listening to some rap music and I have a choice between the lyrics, I'm taking a filth. And I think that that's where, and I'm in my 40s, going to my 50s. So there is a problem that lies in that when we're choosing filthy music, the diets that we're feeding ourselves in terms of the reality TV and the things that we watch on TV, which our children are watching. What do you all think about that? Do you all choose explicit lyrics over the clean lyrics? Hello?
I'm still here. I'm sorry. My name is Angela. How are everybody doing?
How you doing, Angela?
But I listen to all types of music. I listen to gospel. I listen to blues. I listen to rap. I listen to R&B. I listen to country. I listen to all types of music. It's not so more of the profanity that draws you in. If you're a music lover, it's more of the beat that draws you in. If you sit back and listen to a lot of the music that they are playing today, and you actually listen to the lyrics instead of listening to the beat, you'll see there's no understanding to it at all. I've had that conversation with my younger cousins, and I asked them, how could y'all listen to when the lyrics are not understandable? You can't understand the lyrics. And a lot of young people that I have talked to about it, they say, well, we don't listen to it for the lyrics. We listen to it for the beat.
Well, okay, this is Sister Madeira. Hey, Angela. I think for the most part, I think that with our women, I think the degradation comes in with the lyrics themselves that are pertaining to our brown women, because the truth of the matter is the way they treat the brown woman is totally different than what they treat other women and walks of life of women. Because I think that with the music, you're right, the beat is what draws you in. But let me ask you this. With a person being being put up on a hypnosis, I'm sorry, y'all, being put up on a hypnosis, or let's take the movie Forget Out, for instance, when that white woman wanted to sink that guy into his thought and control his middle way of thinking, when she wanted to sink him into an atmosphere where she could control his thinking, she would use the teacup and make the noise with the teacup. So let's just think about the lyrics on certain songs. If you keep hearing,
kill your mama, kill your mama. Black women hoes, black women hoes, kill your mama. Black women hoes, black women hoes. You play this day in, day out, all day. When your mother asks you to take out the trash, the only thing you hear is kill your mother, black women hoes, black women hoes. That starts to program you to a position that you don't be in your right frame of mind. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I think that the music that they're using in our community, if you listen to a lot of those celebrities and those rap guys, even the older ones would say Public Enemy, KRS-One, Chuck D, Run DMC. They say the music sounds so programming and repetitive to where that when they started to go into studios to lay down tracks because they wouldn't do the same thing, then the record company's like, nah, we can't even do that with you. We can't even do that with you because what we want you to do is do it this way. You see what I'm saying? Because it's a problem.
Yeah, we don't own it. The Jews own the record companies, though, and they control the music that's being put out.
Exactly. It takes you back to the Bible. It takes you back to the Bible, and the devil, he sung so beautiful in heaven.
What is that noise?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Oh, we lost.
It goes back to the Bible when it tells you that, you know, that the devil, he was the most beautifulest angel in heaven. He had the most beautifulest voice. It's the money.
You said it's the money?
It's demonic. It's a lot of these, a lot of these record labels are demonic. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these record labels are demonic, and the more they draw people in with the repetitive records that they have out here, you sit and you listen to a lot of the music that these young kids listen to today. All this music has the same exact beat, just different words. They might switch it up every now and again, but it's the same exact beat. It's just different words, and they have different meanings behind those words. And if you actually sit and listen to it, because I've not actually sat and listened to it, to see exactly what, you know, what my cousins and stuff was talking about. And I'm like, are you serious? You're sitting here and listen to this? Like, he's making no sense at all. This is not even a complete sentence that this man is saying. He's just actually saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, you know, they had a meeting in the early 80s, a bunch of record executives and government officials, and they made a conscious decision to take over hip-hop, like a conscious decision invade it and take it over. And you can see throughout the years, anybody who was born in hip-hop or remember, you know, what it was like when it was fun and the music, it was more about the lyrics and not the
dramatically.
Right, it has. It used to be about the music and the lyrics. And now it's about the music. Because I remember, you know, songs like Lottie Dottie and, you know, You Talk Too Much, but you remember the lyrics, LL Cool J, you really don't really remember the beat. Now it's just like you said, it's all about is beat driven. And the music is not only beat driven, it's demonic and misogynistic towards women. But the problem is that we as women are being drawn into that. You know, we are being drawn into that because of the beat. And then, you know, I'm in the car with my grandson and I'm bopping, you know what I'm saying? You know? And he's looking at me like, lady. So it draws you in and it's hard to resist it.
But, you know, I don't actually put all the blame on the hip-hop music or the hip-hop industry and the black man because some women out here that are not raising their daughters to be young black queens. Anytime that you sit up and you let your daughter know that it's okay for her to carry herself in this manner, it's okay for her to walk around without clothing on, it's okay to show off her curves and not hide herself, you know, then you're stepping into a danger zone. You're okaying this girl to take this this persona of being called a whore or being called, you know, a tramp in this music. You know, she's thinking it's okay. Why? Because mama that already, you know, mama's not instilling in her that you're a black queen and no one calls you out your name. If you're not being called by your name, which is the name that I have given you that God has chosen for you, or if you're not being called young lady or young woman, then you don't answer to that.
But being that it's a
it is being keeping it real, sister. Most of us answer to bitches and hoes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's up, bitch? I mean, I'm just keeping
exactly.
it real, you know.
And that's what it's trained. Exactly.
You
and
know,
that's where the chain been broken, though. That's where the chain been broken. And us as black women, we don't know how to stick together to get that chain put back together, because there's too many of them that's standing out here that has put their self in the predicament of being a man instead of being a woman. And
well, I mean,
that
I think it's almost impossible as a woman to be out here in this wilderness working, trying to get it and make it and take care of your children and not lose a certain sense of your femininity and become to a certain degree hard. I mean, life is hard and you live in it.
Exactly. I'm a single mom. I've been a single mom for 9 years. I'm a single mom. I live in Chicago. I've been here all my life, 24/7, 365 days of the year. But there's no way I'm going to walk down the street and a young man going to disrespect me and call me out of my name. Not
right.
Me. That's not my.
But
name.
Do you allow your friends to call? Let me ask you, sister. Do you allow your friends to call you out your name? Real talk.
No. If we're women, okay. If we can't sit here and talk like women, then we don't need to have a conversation.
Because I mean, just keeping it real, there are still friends that I have. Like, call me, you know, what's up, bitch? And it's nothing. You know, that's just it has become the norm to be referred
and
to as
that's a chain that has to be broken. That's a chain that has
it really
to be broken.
It really does.
How can we break the chain if we're taking what these men are taking, if we're taking what they're saying and we're using it in our everyday vocabulary, how can we break a chain? How can we break that chain with our daughters? We can't break that chain with our daughters if we don't stop it. We have to stop somewhere.
Right.
Well,
welcome to the
I do understand, and I agree with everything that y'all saying, but let's go a little bit deeper than this. What about the mothers? What about our mothers calling us out of our name? And what about our aunts and our grandmothers who have called us out of our name? Because I can remember when I was growing up in Chicago, how when my grandmother, when she would get upset, she would call them B-I-T-C-H. And then say, come here, B. You know, she would say stuff like that. And so, again, you get set in this trend or this mold where if that's all you're going to call me, then you know what? I got to come to you calling me by something. I'm going to just go ahead and respect you and still come and see what you want. Even though I know that's not my name, who's going to, like, literally go back and correct your mother? Your mother is calling you a B. Come here, little B. You do this, little B. You know, that word is very prevalent in the brown community with our women.
Excuse me. Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Roz, welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you. I want to say that a lot of us have grown up in those types of settings, but what is most important is how you perceive yourself.
Exactly.
Outside of what people might say to me is nothing. It's how I perceive myself. And
exactly.
I think very highly of myself. Therefore,
right.
You say what you want. I know who I am.
Exactly, exactly. And I understand and I agree with you totally, because me being a heavier set young black woman, I'm 35, I'm heavy set, I'm dark skinned, you know, I have the short hair. So I'm attacked daily. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, I'm pretty, but I'm not the pretty light-skinned sister, you know. So I'm attacked daily just by me being a dark-skinned sister and coming outside. I'm attacked daily, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I carry myself. Exactly. But I carry myself as a queen. I am a queen, and I'm going to be somebody's queen, you know. So therefore, I carry my daughter as a princess. I tell her, my daughter is very, very dark. My daughter is very, very dark-skinned, and, you know, I get a lot of African people that ask me, are we from Africa? And I tell them, no, I'm born and raised here, you know. And they say, she has very pretty skin to be born here. I said, well, what do you mean by that? You know, what do you mean by that? She's a beautiful young black woman. Yes, thank you. You know, so
I think that's because you're dark, she's beautiful to be black.
Exactly. And it irritates my soul when they says that. Oh, she's just so pretty to be so black. What do you mean?
Everyone black is beautiful. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's ignorant.
Very.
At the end of the day,
we still suffer in our own community. We still suffer with the light skin, dark skin issue.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say that, Sister Jada. That is a big issue even with kids. I mean, think about it. I heard a woman say, my daughter-in-law recently had her baby, and my grandbaby came out looking reddish, kind of, sort of. But my daughter is a very chocolate, beautiful, chocolate young woman. And the nurse at the hospital said to me, the dad must be Mexican or something. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me? She was like, the father has to be Mexican. And I said, well, I'm his mother and I ain't Mexican, so I want to know where you get this Mexican from. She said, because the baby is red and the mom is real, real, real dark. And you're light, I just kind of assume that maybe, you know, and I just looked at her in total disgust, because it was like, you telling me to my face because my grandbaby turned out to be red and her mother is chocolate, that there's no way that my son could be a brown skin because my granddaughter looks to you as if she can be Mexican? Really?
That's the power of the black woman. That's the power
I'm sorry. That happens every day. In the brown community, that's an everyday issue. And we're our own critics. We're our own critics, which is messed up.
Sister Jada.
Yes, sir.
Is this show extended today?
Think about
that. Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to say one thing because I hear y'all getting deep in it. But I think when you do your women classes, maybe you should teach a lot of women about their DNA. Because being a black woman, I mean, you have the DNA to make any race all around. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The black woman is capable. The black woman's genetic makeup, she is capable of giving birth to well over 16 different things, including albino.
Exactly.
You know, that's just how powerful I see this. You know, my grandmother gave birth many different shades. I had a very, very, very black chocolate son, my daughter was kind of yellow, and they had the same father. And in his family swore now that my son was just way too black to be my husband's child. And I'm like, you know, that's crazy that people think that if you're brown skinned that you can't give birth to a lighter or a darker child. Now, my grandson is highly yellow, but his father is what you would consider to be purple black. And again, she's the same kind of thing that I went through with my son. You know, that's just craziness to think that, you know, one woman, especially a black woman, that she couldn't give birth to different shades of children. And that we still have to deal with that, even in our own community.
Exactly. I mean, me, myself, personally, my mom has five children. My mom had five children. She has three of them that's very, very light-skinned, and she has two that's very, very dark-skinned, which is me and my brother before me. We're both the middle kids. So we're both dark-skinned babies out of the five. And a lot of people, when they see us together, they say, well, them can't be your sisters, but you guys look alike. But they're very light-skinned, and you're very dark-skinned. Like, I mean, do you guys have the same mom and dad? Yeah, we have the same mom and dad. But I mean, that's the beauty of the brown community. That's the beauty of the brown community, because we come in all shades and colors. You know,
it's not only the beauty; it's the proof. It's the proof that we were here first. It's the proof that we were here first, because we can give shade. We can give birth to any shade on the planet: yellow, white, black, whatever. Black women have albino babies, which are babies that lack melanin, and that is the Caucasian. He is an albino mutant. Sorry to put it out there, but that's just what it is. They lack melanin. And I think that, you know, that proved that Adam and Eve could never have been white people because nobody else would be here. White people are only having white babies, unless, of course, they get with someone outside of the right race, and then that annihilates them because one drop of anything else changes the whole dynamic. You drop a drop of ink into a glass, it changes it. So, you know, the fact that the black woman can give birth to this many different shades proves that she is the mother of civilization, and she is here, she is first.
Exactly.
There is no Caucasian beginning. There is no Caucasian Adam and Eve. It's just a fallacy. The black woman is the goddess of the planet Earth, period.
Exactly.
It's genetic.
Exactly. Because,
do you think that, like in the brown community, because I've seen women do this in the younger generation, I've seen where if they do, they have multiple children. And I witnessed this in Walmart, and I witnessed this in Chuck E. Cheese. I witnessed this in different little areas where the younger generation of women are having children. And at one point, it used to be where the light-skinned babies were, like, the best babies. Like, okay, she can have three kids with her, and the light-skinned baby, everybody's like, no, don't push her down. No, don't push, you know, trying to protect this baby because they don't want this baby to have any marks on them. But now it's the total opposite. Do you think that that's a mentality thing that we're still carrying now, even in the 21st century? Because you have some grandparents who would cater to the darker children more than she would the yellow children or vice versa. So what is it that we can do to break that stereotypical type situation down? Because if it's in your own backyard and you can't clean up your own yard, then how are you going to go and help clean up the community? Like, if that's a mental disorder with us in our families, how is it we're going to ever be able to get to a place where all of the women in the family are seen equally beautiful, and instead of, oh, you know, aunt so-and-so, she the one that looked like the white woman, old wrinkled white woman, and she the one got all the pretty hair and all this other stuff. Everything about her is pretty. But everything about the dark one, you know, oh, she's the black sheep of the family, or, you know, we don't particularly care about what she got to say, and, you know, things of that nature. So tell me, how do we tackle that in our own
yard? I don't think that you can. I think all you can do is teach the younger generation that's coming up how beautiful they are, whether they are light-skinned or dark-skinned. I think that the generation past, or, you know, that still have that mindset, you just have to wait for them to die off because they're not changing. If you have a grandmother that has a difference between her grandchildren because they're light or dark or, you know, this or that, then that's her own mental illness and causes division in her family. And you'll see that.
Exactly.
You know, when you see these families, when you see these families as the children get older and the sisters can't get along and the family is always arguing and fussing with one another and they're evil and doing all that type of crap, that stems from that grandmother. That stems from her because she caused division in her children, having favorites, treating them one better than this one better than that one. And then when they become grown people, that the whole dynamic is messed up because that's what she created. She didn't create a loving, bonding family. She created that division.
I have two nephews that are mixed. I have two nephews that are mixed. They are Puerto Rican and African American. And my nephew, he's 9 years old, and he said, well, the Mexican kids pick at me at school, they call me black. And what I did was I told him, I said, let me tell you something. We're going to sit down and I'm going to take this paint because I've been at Walmart. I've been a manager at Walmart for 4 years now. And it goes to mixing paint. You know, this store is basically a mixing paint. When you mix paint and you have to get purple and you have to get green and you have to get red and you have to get yellow, do you understand that tint, that black tint has to go in there to make any color? That black tint has to go in there to make any color. And I explained that to him. I said, so you are special. You are special. You're not, I said, don't consider yourself black. You're African American. You're very special breed of child. You know,
excuse me for 1 second, because like I said, I'm trying to be in your conversation too much. But one, one thing, if y'all want y'all kids to be stronger, stop trying to justify what they are. Just like you don't want them to call themselves black, African-American is not much of a better title in either. But likewise,
no, it's not.
If they Mexican, they Puerto Rican, whatever the hell they want to call themselves, you still have your original roots, Olmec or whatever else. If they call themselves being a Mexican and don't know their history and don't know where they came from, you don't have to justify yourself or your children to nobody. Let them know they hate it on God. They hate on God. They're going to hate on you. You are a reflection of God,
exactly.
And y'all don't have to justify your beauty to nobody. Like, if anybody, I can't say it enough, if anybody call themselves trying to make you justify yourself, you're only weak when you look for somebody else's acceptance. You
exactly.
are not, women are not our enemy. Black men are not your enemy. We've seen instead of blaming ourselves for a cycle or a conditioning that was literally bred into us from a young age, and whether you want to believe in Willie Lynch or not. But when they sit there and talk about some, because I know I wasn't the pretty one, I was the ugly duckling. And guess what? I have two other brothers, both of them are light skinned. I got a sister that's dark skinned like me, and we got treated differently. I don't blame my mom. I'm not trying to do none of that. But at the same time, it breeds a different kind of being, because guess what?
I know that I have to be better than everybody else.
Ma'am?
Excuse me, brother. I have a question for you. Why do
yes,
you
ma'am.
Consider yourself to have been the ugly duckling?
Big question.
Oh, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Literally, my family is from the South. We're from Orlando, well, Plant City, to be exact. My brothers were all born with light skin, green eyes, and just like you said, both my parents are dark skin. Both their parents were dark skin. It just happened. That's how it came out. I wasn't, even though we all had long hair, my hair wasn't as easy to deal with. And like I said, that's just the condition of what they put on just like she said, like Sister Jada said.
You're saying that's what made you perceive yourself as
when you hear it enough, I mean, people don't acknowledge that boys have feelings too, and we overlook them, we tell them shut up, don't cry, and everything else. But that has a huge psychological effect on our youth, especially
it does,
when we. I mean, a lot of people don't
you
pay attention to the boys.
Problem.
And when they get older, now what do we want now? We want what we thought. We don't want nothing to go through. If you love your child, you do not want your child to go through what you went through. So guess what? Yeah, let me find that light skin girl with that light, that nice hair. Let me find somebody to make sure, because subconsciously you do not want your child to go through what you went through. I used to hate. My brother was everything positive. I was everything negative. But at the end of the day, we turned out two totally different people, and I'm happy how it turned out. It's either going to do one or two things if you don't groom your children for success and groom them to love themselves. This is the key point. They don't have to justify themselves to any person, none, because all of them are below us. If a goddamn Mexican got something to say to you, first off, just tell them, right, you're a Mexican. You ain't got no room to talk. First off, I'm black. That means I'm automatically the first creation from God herself. So you ain't got to justify yourself to nobody. No cracker, no Mexican, no none of them. Because at the end of the day, it's facts. This is no something I'm just saying. I can prove it to you in your Bible. I can prove it to you in any book you want to bring in front of me that the black woman was the first being on this earth.
It is what it is.
When it comes to
psychological programming, and like what the brother was saying, you know, how he was treated. You know, when you come up, and all you hear is like, you know, you're ugly, or, you know, you're this, you're that, you're that. Words have effects. Words last longer than wounds in terms of scars. You know, it's like somebody can punch you and you get a black eye and it goes away. But if someone tells you something, say like a parent, a grandparent, or a man that you love or whatever, they tell you something, it stays in your mind. It's like a tape recorder. It keeps repeating itself. So I know for me as a child,
grandma words
you know,
are gold.
I was told, certain things as a child too. And I still hear it today as a 47-year-old woman. I still hear those same things that I was told when I was 5, 7, 8. You know, I just had to break past those and find ways to love myself, like through my intelligence and through my talent. But, you know, those things stay with you for the rest of your life. Some words you just can't forget.
Exactly. I was always told that I was darker. I was, you know, big-lipped. Oh, she's black. She got big lips. The only thing she got going for her is her body and her hair. I was told that all my life. But
That's
I don't
horrible.
Let that dignify me. That does not dignify me as a person. Maybe I was one of the kids that came out stronger, because my thing is this. If you don't like the way I look, then you can go ahead on.
You can contribute to the hairdress. You can contribute to the wardrobe. You can contribute. Don't talk. Offer solutions.
Well, I was going back to what the sister said initially, Sister Roz, is that your name?
Yes.
When she said you have to love yourself. And I think that just to make a listening to everybody's story, I want to add this because it's very essential that we get to this and understand one thing and one thing only. Just like Brother Nabi said, it don't just happen to the women in our family. It happens to the men, too. And the thing about that is, I remember Sister Ross said, you got to love yourself. You got to get to a place where you love yourself. But the question is, how could you love something that somebody, again, going back to the music, and it's still going back to the words that people say, how could you get to a point to love yourself 120,000% more today when that is stuck in your mental? That's something that, you know, and we are big or not wanting to talk to people. And a lot of times today in this society, I wouldn't say that any brown person should be going to a psychiatric, because if you got kids, they're trying to steal your kids. If you got a nice job, they're going to use that against you for your job. So if you're talking to a psychiatrist or going to someone and seeking help now is not an option for us, because it is used against
us
some type of way. Right, but it is. And if it ever comes out in a record, your medical record, that you sought help for therapy for these types of things, then you stand to lose your job or your career. So my question to all of you is, if that's something that we don't have a dialogue where we can go and actually seek the help, should we be trying to set up groups where we can all get together and we can all throw this stuff in a bag, and we can all comfort one another to throw this thing away? Because, again, it takes steps to learn how to love yourself. It really does. This is not like you just, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, my black is beautiful, I look good, girl, you know. It don't work like that, because today you might be feeling like you a 10, and then tomorrow you can get up, and whatever the case may be, you may even speak to your mother or your grandmother or one of your relatives, and they say, you remember when they used to call y'all the big lip kids, the light skinned ones with the big lips, and or y'all, we call them the black monkey, because they used to, I mean, these are the names that you had adults calling you stuff like this. This wasn't just children. These were adults. So you may very well wake up one day this week and feel everything that those retarded folks called you. So how do you get around
I think to know yourself is to love yourself. You have to know you. You have to know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, then get to know yourself. And when you know you love you. Like, I love you.
Exactly.
You know
exactly. I used to feel bad about being the little dark-skinned girl with the big lips and, you know, the big bow hips and the big booty, you know, and I used to think that was like, you know, a flaw in me. Like, you know, it felt ugly to me. But now growing up and I see things that's going on, people are buying their bodies to look like me. People are buying their lips to look like me.
They sure are.
Let me know that I was perfect in the first place, because these people are buying, they're buying their lips to look like me. They're dyeing their skin to look like me. They're buying hips and butt to look like me. So how could I be wrong?
I also think that when it comes to the mental health issues and seeking help system, I think that stigmatism in our community needs to be annihilated and obliterated. Because we need to be seeking some serious counseling around here, everybody. You know, I mean, it needs to be, especially for our children who are living in these dysfunctional homes, for women who are raising children by herself, that's called toxic stress. You know, I personally am about to start a a grieving women's council. I have lost a child, and I've come in contact with plenty of women who have lost children. And one thing that we all have in common is that we refuse to go sit and talk to somebody who has not lost a child. You know, I did try to do that when I first lost my son. And the counselor, the therapist person, never once mentioned God. They had never lost a child. And I really didn't find them to be worthy to be talking to. So now I'm in a process with other grieving mothers. There's about four of us who are going to get together and form our own group, our own grieving group, where we'll be able to talk with each other about what we're going through, talk about
go
our children.
Go sit with the baby, you know, while I check on
the baby. We've always said that when you lose a child,
hurry,
it's a club that nobody wants to belong to. Well, now I'm in a position to where I
don't
am creating that club where other grieving mothers can come together and we can have some type of outlet where we can pray and talk about what we're going through as grieving mothers, losing our children, and it's necessary. And it might not be counseling, but it's what's needed. You know what I'm saying? So
I think you're right.
Group therapy sessions for all of our people that could be instituted.
Just to say, I think that's an awesome thing to do. My big thing, I'm like Brother Nabi in a whole lot of ways. Not letting those folks in our business is probably the best thing to do in this creative and this scientific time and technology time we're living in right now. Because if, let's say for instance, those women do go and seek help because let's say she can't get out of the bed, she's depressed, now she's diagnosed with being bipolar or a dissociative disorder, or she has multiple personalities, they're going to try to put as many titles on you. So let's say that one particular day that you're dealing with the loss of one of your children and you happen to be in Winn-Dixie somewhere and some indignant person says something to you that's just out of the way, then your record is held against you instead of helping you. So I think you're on the right path. I think that's the most awesome thing to do. We need to start letting people stay out of our business and handle our own business in our own community.
Yeah. And so,
hey, one thing, especially for the other sister from Chicago, I didn't catch your name, but
Angie.
How you doing, Miss Angie? Does everybody on the phone know what Melanin is?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do your kids know what melanin is?
Yes, that's our secret.
Okay, with that being said, that's a key point. That and the same way they brainwash you through the media, once you learn what melanin is, nobody can tell you nothing. Because when they know that you are made out of the same, and scientifically prove it, that you are made out of the same thing as this earth, you are made out of the same thing as the universe, there's nothing nobody can tell you. If we teach them what melanin is, if we teach them... And like I said, being positive goes a long way too. If we said, like you said, the Jews own the industry right now. Why do you think they do that? Because they know what a beat means to black people, indigenous people all around the world. Whether you Buddhist, whether you from Africa, whether you are Indian, that beat has always meant something to you. So all they gotta do is pervert that beat or manipulate that beat, whatever you want to call it, a TV show, whatever. They know we're symbolic people. We've always been symbolic people. If you put the same energy, I'm putting the positive vibes in the media, like Chris Jenner with this show. When you put more positivity in the music, I love Kendrick Lamar. I love J. Cole, people like that. And let them listen to more positive stuff. The frequency is real. That's why they attack the frequency so much.
Right.
I really believe in energy and their spirit. If you're teaching them facts, facts is facts. They can talk shit all they want and tell you you're ugly and everything else. But just like that sister said, you got these women out here killing themselves, literally dying from ass injections, literally dying putting stuff in their lips to look like you. So at the end of the day, facts means everything.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
Well, it's something because... You know, this is 2017, and it seems like we're not making any progress. And you said something about the music, you know, the television. They put programming on. You have to look at the words. When we were in the project, those were housing developments. Why did they call them projects? Because it was just that. It was an experiment to see how you could take these people and give them small resources, keep them in a confined space, and see how they interact with one another. And then it was called a project. Well, these programming that we have on radio, on TV, most of them are just advertising boxes, people constantly trying to sell you something. But the programming is designed to do just that. Program your mind to what they want you to think and see.
And
then
you know what?
And Jada,
with that being said, I can recall when rap music, when it first came out, I remember very vividly. I'm about to be 52 years old, and I can recall when explicit lyrics hit, and it was this big controversial thing, you know, freedom of speech versus explicit lyrics.
Too live, too. Yeah.
Right. Too live, too. And they, in the beginning, white people were so opposed to it. But then they realized, and they said, you know what?
They made money.
If we let them go ahead and call each other bitches and hoes and all this, it's going to tear them down even more.
Right.
And that's when they decided, okay, let them do it.
Right.
Let it rip. You know, I remember that. It was a big thing.
And it's the next time you pouring over into their neighbor, into their little daughter start singing and throw that D and all this other type of stuff. Then they want to do something
right.
about it, but like
then they got a problem
point,
with
they
it.
They just have to get it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, think about the dynamics of what you just said. Look at Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah was my chick when she first came out. MC Light was my chick when she first came out. And then Queen went from wearing the Nefertiti hat. From wearing her African regalia, from wearing, you
right.
know, who you calling a bitch? You know what I'm saying? She went from that to weave and makeup, and I'm
right,
gay,
right.
and I got to put this
blonde hair
on. You know, I got to have a
right.
long hair. What happened to Queen? You know what I'm saying? So it's like the people that we actually looked up to as young females, because like I said, I was Queen was my stuff. But I was
money happened to
Queen.
That's what happened.
Person.
Money and fame.
You know what I'm saying?
Money.
Exactly.
Money happened to her. She got a taste of that money. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
She did, and she forgot about all the young women, which are now our age. She forgot about
mm-hmm.
us. That if it wasn't for us, she wouldn't be who she is right now. You
that's
see
right.
what I'm saying? Who
mm-hmm.
put Queen on? Because every
mm-hmm.
it wasn't one brown chick on State Ring Friday night that didn't go up there to the DJ and say, hey, man, throw Queen up there. We was walking
mm-hmm.
around here with women's fezzes on our heads. We was walking around here with the shoulder pads in our jackets because we wanted to be like Queen.
Right,
we
right.
was walking around here putting on the African medallion on our neck and everything. It's like, dang. So y'all... I'm pointing fingers now. They're pointing fingers now back at us and saying, hey, y'all, we need to clean up the community. But to me, that particular set of women dropped the ball, because even on a good given day right now, you can see MC Light. Nothing's changed about MC Light. Like, seriously, nothing's changed about her.
She's still going to be a lot more feminine.
She's a lot more feminine.
Now,
but she still
now
has the same message. Her message didn't change, is what I'm saying. Even up until
right.
now, MC Light message did not change. Even when she performed, her persona, her whole, you know, you ain't finna talk to me this kind of way because I'm a, you know, I'm a real queen. Her persona still is there. But if you watch Queen Latifah perform, even now, you're like, who is this chick? What is she doing? Where is the real queen?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So these are the women who set that mold for us, and then they bailed out on us, and then what happened? We got Lil' Kim, you know, walking around on TV
and
with
and,
on.
And Lil' Kim stands out there. She's already said it. And she has altered herself to the point of not...
She looks like a black Joan Rivers to me.
I mean, but she said it. She said she thinks that white women are more beautiful than black women.
She did say that. She did say that. And
she
also said that she believes that she's Puerto Rican and that she wasn't even a brown woman. She said that she went, this is how deep hatred is for our women in our community. Lil Kim petitioned the court to change her ethnicity on her birthday.
Right.
That's
yeah.
why she went and had her face done. She went and had her listen. She had her.
But you know what? That is a mental issue. That is a mental issue. That lets you know how mental she is. That lets you know that she doesn't have not a strong gene in her body to be the person that she is set out to be. She letting somebody tell her who is she supposed to be. She's mental. She's sick.
But that's a lack of knowledge of self. That's just and Michael Jackson had that at one time, and then he grew into the knowledge of who he is. He grew into his blackness. And you can see Michael Jackson's progression from when he was Peter Pan and running around, you know, happy, jolly. And then when he started becoming conscious with the remember the time, he really started growing in consciousness, and the white folks didn't like it, not to mention he had that Beatles catalog. You could see him growing, and then he became Muslim, and then that's when he became the molester.
That's a whole other topic.
It is.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of our conscious celebrities have been blackballed in the industry where they are not able to have concerts, have tours to sell out. Chuck Rock, Arabian Rakim, Public Enemy, Run DMC. These are all the people that were telling us consciously, Kool Moe Dee, Big Daddy Kane. These are all the ones that was telling us how beautiful our skin was and who we were and accept who we were and that we, listen, I remember when Kool Moe Dee did Wild Wild West, and I remember sitting in front of the TV and he did an interview with Donnie Simpson. Y'all remember Donnie Simpson? And what's her name? Yes. And they did the interview, and they asked him, why is he doing a video portraying black or African-American or brown men as cowboys? He went deep into history to tell everybody that the original cowboy was a black man. The original Geronimo was a black man. He broke it all the way down for us, and he said that's why he put the lyric in there, if you ever in a fight and you're beating one of us, break out before you get bum rushed. He was letting them know right then and there. But we walked away from those lyrics that meant something to us as a people, and even as women, you know, we looked up to the Kool Moe Dees, all of the ones that came with Kool Moe Dee's era, you know, and then they broke us down. They started to break us down little by little when they started undressing MC Hammer, and when they started doing different things for different people and just making them look
like gangster rap. I think gangster rap had a lot to do with that. You know, gangster rap kind of killed conscious rap.
It did because it took them from making a statement and calling out prophecies to making them look like clowns. Because right now that's what they look like, a bunch of clowns. The only thing they're missing is red nose and big clown shoes.
That's the truth.
That's what they look like.
And a lot of the rappers are androgynous. You don't know whether they're men or women.
Exactly. You have the ones wearing leggings. They got on leggings. They have red hair with beads. They wear women clothes. Like you're wearing a woman. How do you expect
the basketball players are too? I mean, it's a whole feminine, it's a whole ETV going on in the rapping up.
And you know what? And me and my boyfriend had this conversation. I asked him, how can a woman respect a man that's sitting up here dressed with the same clothes that she have on? You got on the same thing I have on.
That's how I used to feel with men with perms. I don't want to be in the mirror with you while you're curling your hair. You know what I'm saying? That's just ridiculous.
Okay, and I don't want you in there longer than me. I don't want you in the mirror longer than me. Like, why are you in the bathroom longer than I have to be in the bathroom?
I mean, that's just not my idea of a man. You sit in the mirror curling your hair and certainly, you know, curling your perms. It's ridiculous. But, again, that's the state that our society is in. And I think that moving forward, you know, each person has to do what they can do, like, you know, what y'all doing, whether it's telling a child that you're beautiful and instilling in our children a sense of self-esteem. You know, I'm ordering this Black History curriculum from Dr. Boyce Watkins, and we'll be having Saturday classes. We'll be having Saturday classes for the children this summer, Black History classes, and how I am going to get the children and their parents to attend is I have a poster board that has like 20 different Black important prominent people in history that everybody should know, and I have $100. And I offer you $100 if you can give me at least 15 people off this poster. And if you don't know those 15 people, then you got to attend this class. That's the bet. You name them, I give you $100.
Wow.
You can't name them, you come to my class. You know?
Oh, okay.
And this is it's necessary. It is absolutely necessary. All the beginning for all of us is the beginning of knowledge. You know, loving yourself. That begins with knowing who you are as a Black person. You got to know
exactly.
You got to know our history.
And I'm so in love with my daughter right now. My daughter, I don't perm her hair. She's natural. I braid her hair, and I keep her hair in braids all the time. I braid my hair. I keep my hair in braids. I have gotten her out of that little phase of wearing the beret and the little click-clackers on her hair because that's supposed to be making them pretty. No, these braids, this is what's making you pretty, your braids, your locks. This is what makes you free.
So it's just
wow.
You know,
that's what's up.
In terms of self-esteem, it is what's up. You know, and you have to give self-esteem to these girls very young. Boys, too, though, you know, like your brother's saying. You know, boys have
exactly.
A feeling. So I just want to say that I have greatly appreciated conversations every day. You know, the conversations are so organic and so real. And there are so many people that are listening that I didn't think were listening, but, you know, I'm learning that, you know, people are really tuning in and really listening. I get hit up a lot on social media. We get hit up on Facebook. So, you know, we just have to continue to keep doing what we're doing and try to have more interesting and more topics so that we can just chop it up and discuss it and hope more people call in. You know, I'm up to like 100-something listeners in 2 weeks. So that's not bad, you know, and I just want to thank, you know, all of y'all for supporting and contributing to make this successful, you know, and hopefully it'll grow into 100,000 to a million this month, you know?
And Jada, I want to put something out in the atmosphere. You know how they have all these crazy little challenges going out there? If each one of us tells 10 people a day that their Black is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
Tell them.
Exactly. I make that my business. Even when I'm in a grocery store, when I'm in the,
yeah.
in the
yeah.
everywhere I go, I see a little girl, I see an older woman. I tell her, I say, hey, how you doing? I say, girl, my Black
mm-hmm.
is beautiful. You know, you
mm-hmm.
have to let them know. And, you know, even with the men, you know, I know that it
not
is
that
wrong
too.
And teaches
mm-hmm.
us not to say anything to the brothers. But you know what? When I see my brothers, I be like, my Black is beautiful. I don't have to
do that.
Too, face
I'll be like, brother, I love that Black. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by me being at Walmart, I see a lot of mothers come in with their children and everything, and I see a lot of little Black kids. And, you know, I tell them, I stopped a little girl not too long ago, like a week and a half ago, and I had told her, I said, you know what, you're a princess. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not a
mm-hmm.
princess, because you're a princess, and one day you're going to be a beautiful Black queen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, I'm a princess. I said, I'm going to buy you, let me go buy you a crown. I went and bought her a crown. I said, now you wear this crown every day because you're a princess.
Have you
seen
that movie?
Every year. Yes, every year with my daughter. My daughter is 9 years old. She just made 9 years old last week. And I buy her a crown every year for her birthday. That is part of her.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of her outfit. She gets a crown every year for her outfit because she is going to be a queen. You are a beautiful Black princess. You belong to a queen. I said, so therefore, you're going to be a beautiful Black queen when you get my age. You are going to be a beautiful Black queen. And I have
and
to
let
her know that. Every day.
And we can only pray that nobody comes in between that, you know, like these sexual predators and, you know, these
mm-hmm.
what I call soul snatchers and kill that beautiful spirit. You know, one day I want to have a show on that, the wantedness of molestation and sexual abuse in our community, because your parents can instill all the self-esteem and you know, confidence in you, and then a person can come along and in one setting rob you of your innocence.
I tell my daughter that all the time, because I didn't hear that when I was coming up. I didn't hear that, you know, that you're beautiful, you know, and stuff like that. I didn't hear that a lot. So I make it my business to let her know that, so that when she get older, she won't get that love for one of these little so called men out here on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah,
because they're
going to
use that as their
event.
You know, they'll use that as their
event.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we do have a tendency to do that. What you don't get at home, you will go out in the street and find it.
That's right.
Or it will find
you.
You
better say that. You better say that. And
exactly.
The first man that come along and tell your daughter she's beautiful and she's 18 years old, he don't mean well by it. He's just telling her, and she is so happy to just hear somebody say she's beautiful, and then he'll take off somewhere and do something to her. And you like, you know, why are you letting this man beat you up, black your ass, pull your hair out, drag you down the street, kick in your stomach, make you lose your baby, give you miscarriage? Because he say, oh, beautiful. That's the first thing they say when you pull them up to themselves. I allow it because he say, I'm pretty or I'm beautiful.
Yep.
So sad. So this is what I want to talk about. We have about 8 more minutes. Somebody want to say something? Somebody say something? Rob?
What?
I wanted to touch on. We spoke about.
I can barely hear you, sister.
I want to speak on the men in this society and what they have to endure also, because Brother Nabi made a very, very great point when he said that the men also suffer from this same stereotypical situation. And I wanted to know, what is it that we can do even with the male community to try and help them understand that they're kings and they're handsome also, because you got a lot of them who don't believe that they're handsome. Even if you tell them that. So what do we do about the young men as well who don't believe that they're kings and that they're handsome and that they have to have their hair cut a certain way, or they have to have a certain pair of shoes or a certain pair of pants, or you ain't this unless you look a certain way, because our men are also suffering from this stereotype.
It's the same solution.
Exactly. I don't know. I like me a well-dressed, melanin-popping, pretty white teeth, nice haircut. Yes, I like. Give me that any day. Don't give me nothing with their pants sagging all the way down to their ankles. No, I like them well-dressed, pants pulled up on their waist. They got nice, clean shirts on. They melanin is popping. Their teeth is white, and they're respectful. That's what I like.
I heard that.
I'm not mad.
She said,
baby, I heard that.
Just letting y'all know, I don't cut my hair.
Welcome to the show, Carla.
Okay.
And I'm always dirty because I be at work.
Now,
what about Samson? Because Samson was known to be a very handsome, very, very, very handsome man, and he had locks in his head. He had a beard. So let's talk
and you
about
know what?
That.
Samson, and you know what? You know what happened to Samson? He got tricked up by that white woman.
He did
That's
get tricked up by
Samson.
A white woman. But what I'm saying is,
he got tricked up because Delilah was a Philistine. Samson, he was told to leave the Philistines alone, that they were evil people. But he just could not stop messing with that lady. And then she tricked him and used him. I mean, I'm just keeping it real.
Okay, that wasn't a great example then, Jada.
You know what I'm just saying? That's what happened to him. He fell for that white woman, and she tricked him up and found out his strength and messed him up. Now, if he would have done what his parents told him to do and leave those evil people alone and pick one of his own, then what happened to him wouldn't have happened to him. You know, now God did eventually come answer his prayer, but not after that. I mean, the lady, she's got her claws in her. And that's the white woman is universal reminder. That's what she does. That's it. Before we go off the air, I just found out today, because I had been looking for, you know, some different news topics, and I just found out today that the reason that Arkansas is executing these dudes so quickly is because the drug is going to expire. Have y'all heard that?
Oh yeah.
Because the drugs are what? Can you say that again?
They are going to execute. They have already executed 4 people this week in Arkansas. They're going to execute 4 more before Sunday.
Yeah.
Because one of the drugs in the cocktail that they mix up is going to expire, so they need to kill 8 people before the drug expires.
Are you serious?
Wait. You lost me. What you talking about?
Listen to me very well. Arkansas they executed 2 men in 1 day, 1 white one and 1 black one. Then they just executed 2 more the other day. So now they have 4 more scheduled by Sunday. And they said the reason why they're executing these men so rapidly is because one of the drugs that's in part of the cocktail that they mix for the injection is going to expire. So they need to go ahead and use it up before it expires.
Yeah, they've already killed an innocent dude already.
What you say?
They done already killed an innocent brother already. Hey, one of the brothers that was convicted, the judge was sleeping with the prosecutor in his case.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that
funny? And the lawyers tried to bring it up, but they didn't get it. They denied it. That governor denied it. And they killed that.
This is basically a genocide because you don't want a prescription drug to expire.
Yeah, well, technically, you know, they can kill prisoners because they're not legally human beings.
And they're disabled. Yeah, right. I just saw that today. I could not believe that. I just could not believe. I was like, why would they kill 2 people in 1 day? And then someone was like, they killed 4 people. I was like, 4 people? I believe they have 8 people scheduled to murder.
Hey, they
got to
do it by Monday. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They got 4 more to do this week before Sunday. Isn't that something?
Okay, so
4 more people to kill?
What's the question?
This is what really gets under my skin. Where are these people that the community elects as aldermen, councilmen, city officials, Senate and House? Where are all these people in this humane euthanasia that they're carrying out? Because that's what it is.
Because they already sanctioned it at the government level, at the state level. The city government can't do nothing. There's only like 2 laws that allow somebody to intervene. And both of them got to be okay by the governor, who is the same person who signs the orders to execute them.
So it's a lose-lose situation.
Oh, yeah, they wanted total control over the process. That's what they did. That's why the Supreme Court put it back down into the state's hands. There's no national law on execution. They let each state decide.
Just an idea that they will murder 8 people in 1 week behind a drug expiring. Am I still in the Twilight Zone?
I'm trying to get into it, so you can get in there.
So basically, they have the right to do what they want at will. So what is the difference in them taking that same prescription drug that they're using to kill or to execute these people? What is it to say that if that same drug is out in the community and it's floating around throughout our community for vaccinations, or they're using that same combination of drugs to using a vaccine, who's to say that they're not going to push the same issue with getting it out there just as long as it don't expire?
I don't know, sister. All I know is white folks is evil, and they just get more bold than what they're doing to us. You know, they I just posted on today, this man in New Jersey got busted with 86 bricks of heroin. 86 bricks. I know people in the hood who got 100 years for having a couple of bags of heroin in their pocket. This dude had 86 blocks of heroin, and guess what he got? 6 months of rehab.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know that system not built for fairness, though. You know, it's designed to put brothers and non-cooperatives in a position where they can make money off of you. Like, they put us in prison. They don't be to commit us into crime or because we committed crime. It's because they can make more money off of us in jail than they will if we just on the street.
Right, that's the prison industrial complex.
Collect calls, food contracts, all that stuff they get paid for.
That makes me want to ask this question behind that, then. If and when, now, okay, I've been hearing a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to leave America. I would never leave America. This is where I came from, and this is my home. And I always make the joke because my brother is also... he happened to be incarcerated, and I always make the joke about, you know, the Mexican American is fighting to get in here, and they fighting to get in, and I want them to show me where they tunnels at so I can learn how to get out. And my whole thing was, I'm serious, like so many African American, black, brown, whatever you want to call our people, they sitting here behind this wall garbage. They behind this Make America Great thing again. My whole perspective on that is the Mexican fighting to get in and I'm fighting to get out. So tell me where your tunnel's at so I can go find this tunnel and I can crawl through this joker and go on the other side where I can be where you was at, or I can go first.
No, we need to tear this whole system down. We need to tear the whole system down. The Federal Reserve system, the tax system, the jiu-jitsu system, all of it needs to be torn down and rebuilt, where all the people can have freedom, justice, and equality. And that is the purpose.
That'll never happen because the people that own the Federal Reserve are not Americans. That's why they put those monetary policies in there and tell the people who to sell the money. Because you realize currency is a product, just like anything else on the shelf at Walmart. The people who have businesses, as far as countries, they'll walk around and look at whose currency is worth what. American dollars or the U.S. dollar is a trading currency for all countries. Every country that trades will go use it, translate their money over into the dollar, and then communicate with each other via that dollar.
Well,
so the monetary system is for foreign trade. It ain't even for, like, what we use it for. It ain't even for that. That's why
right.
we get sucked up underneath it.
You're right, brother. Because real currency is the narrows and gold bars and silver bars. And when we come from up under the Federal Reserve, who illegally print on promissory notes, because if you look at your money, it'll tell you exactly what it is. It says this is a promissory note to the Federal Reserve, meaning that I promise that if I give you this little piece of paper and call it currency, that you promise to give me the same little piece of paper back. And so that's where they got us wrapped up in this system. And I always tell people from the get, when they talking about money, let me tell you something. It's a difference with being rich and being wealthy. Rich people flaunt their money because they want everybody to know that they got something. Wealthy people, you would never know they got it because they got too much to pay.
Okay. No, I'm just on my way back. I was making sure. All right.
Because the show is over, we're going to leave it past the show. And I just, again, I extended it 90 minutes. I extended it 30 minutes, and we're still going over. So that goes to show how good the conversation gets. But Monday, I would like to talk about medical apartheid, you know, the medical mafia in America and the experiments that have been executed on our people in the United States this autism that is affecting these black babies. So please, everyone, tune in Monday as we discuss the medical apartheid, the AIDS, and all these other diseases these folks come up with and experiments that they have are still doing on our population. So please tune in Monday for another episode of Conscious Conversations. Everyone's going to
find
a very good
y'all be safe. Enjoy yourself.
Okay, my
sister. All right. Tune in Monday.
Y'all have an awesome weekend.
Y'all have a good
weekend.
Y'all too.